What's up, Douglas?
T-shirt time.
T-shirt time.
Hey,
t-shirt
everybody.
Time.
It's t-shirt time.
That means you are nothing but a t-shirt, right?
That's right. No pants.
No pants dance. Let's get it on.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese drums.
Yeah, so we had... I don't know what happened this last week, but we only had 7 reviews.
Fuck!
What?
Yeah,
fuck.
I know it's unacceptable.
Listen, listeners.
People are starting not to
that
like
hurts
us.
Me in the loins.
Leave us a review and you could get a chance to win a freaking badass mind pump shirt.
Yeah, and by the way, we have brand new ones that are only available to those who leave a review and win.
Oh, so you can't buy them?
At this time, exclusive. You can't buy them. You may be able to buy them in the future, but right now, you can only get it by.
So if you want to be a cool kid.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've already sent out a few, and we have quite a few of them, so we're going to be giving them away quite generously.
Good.
Wow.
Who's winning? Who's winning this week?
That Smith Life and Justino Fit.
You guys win.
Two shirts out this week.
So what do they do? Email you?
Yeah, mindpumpradio@gmail.com. Include your name that you used in your iTunes review, your shirt size, your address. And for all the rest of you, if you want one of those new shirts, leave an awesome review and we may pick you.
And all of you single ladies over 40 years old, please leave your phone number for Doug. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
A little pick.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
So I go to... I go to your place, Adam, to grab something, and I noticed a movie on the counter.
Oh boy, I'm so excited to get home.
Yeah, I just saw the picture.
Bro, I'm gonna watch it, but I know it's gonna suck. It's gotta suck.
Well, you didn't watch it as a kid?
No, I didn't. So it's gonna suck.
Oh, you did watch it?
No, I didn't. I've never seen it.
Okay, so it probably will suck for you.
What's it called? Rad?
Rad.
You're gonna have no sentimental nostalgia, you know. Attachment there.
Exactly. So
of course it's going to suck.
Yeah, if you watch
watching Karate Kid now.
Yeah, if you watch an 80s movie and you weren't in love with it in the 80s and you expect it to like wow you, like no 80s movie's going to wow you for the first time.
Send me an angel.
But yeah. Katrina was so mad at me because I was playing Justin's meme like over and over the car. I'm like, I know,
it took you like right back there. Huh?
You have no idea what a length I went to find this thing. You can't, okay, you know, most old shit you can get on YouTube. Like someone's even like recorded it from their phone, like watching the TV. No, you can't find Rad.
Nothing.
You can't, Amazon.
Really?
Sold out. You can't find it on Amazon. You can't buy it on Apple. Dude. You can't buy it on Google.
You had to go to China?
Only the G's
bro,
have it.
I had to buy it from some like back of a BMW, dude. Like it was like that.
Legit?
Gangster. Ella gangster.
How much did it cost
I hope
you?
It's Rad when I get there. I hope it's not something else.
I hope it's not Dar.
It's like Beverly Hills Cop.
It's the Indian version.
That's too easy.
He bought the Bollywood version.
The Bollywood version.
I got it.
Don't hear your name, Dar.
Oh, my God. something like that. That was horrible.
I have not been so excited to watch a movie. And it, you know, and what it is, and this is when I was a kid, I figured it was 1986 when it came out. So I'm 5 years old. I watched that, you know, and you guys know that you have kids. So I know you guys have a kid.
Oh, you watch it over and over again.
Right. Your kid watches one movie
a million
times. Right. There's every child finds a movie. That was my movie. That movie I watched at least 100 times.
Yeah. I watched that one and Goonies like a million.
I love Goonies. The only movie, you know what movie I watched over and over again as a kid? Predator.
Yeah.
Like, how fucked up is
me
that?
Too.
I was like 8 years old. I was like, Predator over and over again.
Were we 8?
I'm sure not one. Love
when
that
was
movie.
Predator? Were we 8? I think we were older than that.
It was like 90. Was it not 90? It was like 87.
Google that, Doug. Predator.
Maybe?
Once, Predator. You know, fuck. Yeah.
Doug can't get up. He's got his bust. He's got his vagina knee.
Doug can't get up because his vagina knee.
His labia flaps are just not.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
1987, bro.
Just making sure everybody's awake.
Yeah, so
out
I was
there.
Like, I was probably 10, 9 or 10 when I watched that shit over and over and over again.
I love Predator.
And you know what? I still love that fucking movie because, and I hated Predator Part 2. No, nothing against Danny Glover, but no fucking way in hell could you kill Predator, bro.
Only Arnold. Yeah. Arnold could do it.
Only Arnold could do it.
Then.
Danny Glover, great and Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Against Predator.
Dude, horrible. And he had Apollo in that movie. You had Jesse Ventura. You had some beasts.
Bro, I like how, what's his name? What's his name? Fuck, Withers? something Withers.
Oh, Carl Withers.
Yeah, he's known as Apollo.
Yeah, no, he's just Apollo forever. I know. Damn it.
What about that?
I didn't even catch that. He named everybody else.
Did you guys? Ever, it's just like assumed. It's Apollo.
Did you guys ever watch that movie, The Last Dragon?
The Last Dragon.
Oh, please say it. Tell me you've seen this movie.
I think I have.
He's watching The Last Dragon, making fun of us for watching Rat.
No, bitch. Listen to what I'm saying.
You did there.
Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying. The Last Dragon. It's the freaking.
Yeah, guys. Last Dragon. It was awesome.
No, his name is Bruce Leroy. He's Bruce Leroy. It's a fucking. And then you had Shownuff, or what's his name?
Shut up.
Yeah, who's the master? Shownuff. You never seen that shit? And his hands glow, and he does a fucking kung fu. Every Whoa. Listener right now is getting angry with you two right now for not watching that.
Is this like a spoof? It had to be.
It's like a blaxploitation almost film, but it's kung fu and it's sick and it's got great music.
Rad and Dirt Bike.
Okay, you know what? I will watch that.
No.
Because I respect, you know, kung you as fu. A person. So you have to watch Rad because you respect
me as a
person.
Oh, I'm for sure going to watch Rad.
All right, cool.
But then what was that girl that was a prince's girlfriend? Apollonia? What was her name? She's in that movie too, and she sings in there and shit. She's really hot. I had massive
what
boner
were you
for her.
What were you doing between the ages of 5 and 8? Do you know what you were into? What were you into between ages 5 and 8?
Quantum physics. No, I don't know. 5 and 8. He-Man was the shit.
Oh, yeah.
Love fucking He-Man. Thundercats was awesome.
Oh.
I loved 3-2-1 Contact. 3-2-1 Contact was my favorite show on TV. Do you guys remember that?
3-2-1 Contact. How about Dragnet? You were probably all over that with the math and shit.
No, that's stupid. Remember, you guys don't remember 3-2-1 Contact?
I do remember 3-2-1, man.
Remember that? Yeah, it was a science show. 3-2-1 Contact. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And they do. It was like they would do science and shit, and they'd show like weird.
Justin, what were you doing?
It's fun. You'll see.
Yeah. Yes,
that was you.
That was me.
5 and 8. 5 to 8.
5 to 8. What was I doing?
Yeah,
I had a lot of He-Man. I mean, all your typical stuff, G.I. Joes and. What else was I into? I was into all kinds of stuff like that. Micro Machines.
Oh, right? Good one.
Yeah. Remember that guy that talked super fast?
You know what I used to say?
I couldn't believe it.
And then there was this joke in elementary school. I don't know if you guys remember this one. Hey, man, does your dick say Micro Machines on it? And the guy would be like, no. And he'd be like, then it's not the real thing. Do you guys remember that in Micro Machines?
You said
it doesn't say Micro Machines.
I remember
it's
that when
real
you said
thing.
This. I heard that. That's I heard right. you say that before.
I did.
You did say that.
And then the rest of the time, I'm playing sports.
That's what I was going to say. That's right.
What is this thing you speak of?
Yeah.
Known as sports.
5 years old.
I was riding the bikes for sure. This was. I think that was before rollerblading was.
Oh, I was skateboarding. I was doing a little BMXing, skateboarding.
I was hardcore into.
So you can do a kickflip.
Yeah, I could do a kickflip.
You can? Legit?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, don't hold me. He's like, Justin's like, fucking don't hold me that.
Listen. Yeah, show it, bro. Instagram it. No, not happening.
I can. I used to have a big wheel. Did you guys have a big wheel?
Of course.
Yep.
That was the sickest thing of all time. What the fuck happened to those, man?
They still have them.
They came back. And you know what? They're even sicker now.
Yeah, they're cool
now. Now they drift.
Yeah, they have levers.
So the back, actually, you can turn the back so it like goes against it.
Do they have them for adults?
Yeah. They do.
Doug, I want you to invest in four, because you need one too. 4 mind pump big wheels.
And we're racing.
Let's do this.
I love this.
Let's do that.
When we go to a fitness convention, we're riding those fuckers.
Yeah, I'm rolling up in one of those.
Your
sure.
unathletic ass is fucked in this one.
Why?
Sure.
Why does it require athleticism?
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
You got a pedal.
One, two, one.
Oh, you especially, do?
Especially, I thought it was electric. He's going to be counting each one.
Hey, if you have to drift or turn, you're fucked. If we go straight, you might be all right. You might be all right. If you're straight.
As long as there's no hills,
you definitely have to race.
He's got a lot of power.
That's a must.
We do. We have to race, but he has to turn. He has to actually drive. You can't just.
Is there? If
you got to look cool and super slow.
As long as we don't go downhill or uphill or turn, then I'm good. Or if there's a little slippery, then I'm not. I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to put you out of your element.
It's too dangerous.
Doug, do you remember when you were between the ages of 5 and 8? Is that even? Can you even do that? Can you go that far back?
Yeah, I think I can.
What were you doing between?
I had a big wheel.
He was playing with his pet brontosaurus.
They used to have them back then.
His pet brontosaurus.
Yeah.
Back when he was a pterodactyl.
I had a Schwinn bicycle. That was before the BMX stuff.
Okay. All right, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I like Schwinns.
A lot of pretend stuff I did because. Oh, yeah?
Did you have a make believe friend when you were a kid?
I didn't, but I did a lot of pretending. I mean, I was Batman, Superman, Robin Hood. We lived over a valley, above a valley, and I go down there with a bow and arrow and shoot things.
I'm glad you didn't say Robin.
Your mom let you have a bow and arrow between 5 and 8?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Damn.
Bro, in those days, you could
play with that. We had to eat somehow.
Yeah. Squirrel.
Yeah. So, what's that sound?
It's coming.
It's motherfucking Quaw.
Wow. Now you take my line?
You took my line before.
First you
guys gotta get this organized.
I know, dude. Talk to this guy. What's going on?
I know.
You know what?
That's he wants to open. He wants to close.
Right?
He wants to take your line.
Quack.
He's gonna take all my jokes. I know. Pretty soon. Everything.
Pretty soon.
Hold on,
hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sal Show.
Sal Show.
Sal.
Sal.
He's so funny, and he gets so many chicks. He's Sal.
He doesn't.
He does all the roles.
He doesn't even need his two other guests.
Wait, hold on a second. I want Justin to play that song again.
It's Sal. Join him. It's his show.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. For the Sal show, we have some questions.
I'm not answering any of them.
No, you're so good at it.
Beginning with Caitlin M. Barr. She is asking about body wash, shampoo, and that type of thing. What to look out for? Because we talk a lot about what to look out for as far as eating is concerned.
Oh, wow. Right. This goes in line with what you were mentioning about
Justin. I had just heard about this.
Do you want Sal to go ahead and say it for you? Or can you say it?
What?
Can you go ahead and go and talk about this? Do you want Sal to say
no,
it?
No, you guys set up.
Come on, man. You're throwing me off. Like, what? I need Daddy Sal to come in?
Oh, my God. Why do you got to start shitting at him?
Damn it.
I got to fuck with Justin every once in a while and interrupt him.
He does have to throw me out of my train of thought. I was like so focused. No, I was thinking about this study that they were actually showing, I don't know if it was young girls that were putting on makeup that had some kind of like a steroid or not a steroid, but like a hormone. So their hormones changed because of all the makeup that they were applying. And so it just got me thinking about that as far as like the skin being an organ and lotions and products with shampoos and soaps.
Antibacterial
and all these,
type stuff, right?
And you know, the flora that's good flora that we don't want to necessarily get rid of, but we do by using specific types of products and stuff like that. So anyway, so that's all tied into health as well. And I thought this was an interesting question because, well, you know, it highlights that.
Excellent, because look, you buy a bottle of medicine or supplements or whatever.
God, if it wasn't enough that Big Herba hates us, now the fucking
cosmetic
now fucking Johnson commercial. And Johnson's coming after us.
Well, they're actually
they're a family company.
They're very closely tied. Go grab your bottle of lotion or grab your shampoo. And look at the ingredients.
Jergens.
It's very difficult to tell how much of what's in there. Skin lotions typically don't even have, a lot of times don't even have them. Makeup doesn't necessarily have ingredients. What you have are, you have a lot of chemicals known as xenoestrogens. And these are chemicals that they interact with the estrogen receptor in the body. So they may exert effects like estrogen. And so these girls, these young girls are using these, you know, makeups and stuff and, you know, lotions. And they're stimulating puberty earlier. Mm-hmm. They're getting into puberty earlier, and this is not a good thing because you start messing with the estrogen receptors, you increase risks of cancer and stuff like that later on. Mm. And so we talk a lot about you know, eating organic food and eating things that are clean and you know, non-GMO and stuff like that. But the products that you rub on your skin, you put on your face, that you put under your arm, that you wash your hair with. That's also, you got, and we sound like pain in the asses.
We
right?
sound like total hippies.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's true.
We've gone down that hole.
It's true, man. Think about it.
And it smells.
Every single day you put toothpaste in your mouth. Every single day you rub this stuff in your scalp and some of it gets absorbed.
Yeah.
Every single day you rub lotion on your skin, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, if there's something in them that interacts with the body, is over time going to cause
right.
things to happen. In the body. So.
Yeah, we have to consider this. I mean, it's just something you're doing to your body like frequently. Just like we talk about when we get to muscle imbalances or we have overactive muscles, it's due to repetitive movements that we're constantly doing that we don't address or we don't combat by teaching the body how to deal with that properly. And so this is just another facet that, you know, we do have to consider. We have to consider all these additional types of hormones and things that we're exposing ourselves to?
Well, it's funny because I'll tell people this kind of stuff. They'll be like, oh, but I love this product. It makes my skin look so nice. Do you know what makes your skin look nice? Proper diet. Proper diet and hydration will do more for your skin in terms of youthfulness and suppleness than almost any product you'll ever rub on it. Same thing with hair and with anything else. People like, oh, well, I need to use a really strong deodorant because otherwise I'll have BO. Proper diet a lot of times corrects that as well. Changes your external flora, the bacteria that lives on your skin, and will change and make it to where you don't smell when you sweat. It's interesting stuff, but it's something you need to consider. Look, I'll give you a great example. It's a real easy example. For years now, we've seen, and you're seeing less now because the backlash has already started, but for years, you would go to the store and you would see soaps, and then you'd see antibacterial soap, mm-hmm. right? What's the difference between soap and antibacterial soap? Well, first of all, regular soap is also antibacterial. All soap is. It kills bacteria or washes it off your skin. So soap is all antibacterial. But the soaps that were advertised as antibacterial soaps would contain a natural antibiotic called triclosan. Mm-hmm. And triclosan, you rub on your skin when you wash, you rinse your hands off, but triclosan stays on your skin and it acts like an antibiotic. Well, overuse of any antibiotic is extremely dangerous. Keep in mind, we're also washing this off into our water supply, and it doesn't get filtered out very well. Mm-hmm. So it's no wonder that we're seeing lots of these, like, you know, bugs that are becoming antibiotic resistance or gut issues or autoimmune issues that could be tied to some of the stuff. Now you're seeing some backlash, and they're not selling as many anymore. I believe right. Yeah, the FDA came down on them and said, you can't do this anymore.
There was a big, and you see that too with these trends with like people like the bird flu or like these sort of pandemics happen, like sales of these antibacterial soaps and gels and lotions and everything goes through the roof. And yeah, that's the thing. It's like people just want to almost bleach their whole body so they won't catch whatever sort of cold or disease is out there and not really addressing it from, I mean, like, give your immune system a chance to, you know, be familiar with these antibodies.
Well, let's be honest. This is very similar to, like Sal was starting to say, the whole bigger herba thing that we're talking about is that here now you have these companies, makeup companies, lotion companies, any sort of the shampoos, stuff like that. And, you know, the marketing behind it is, you know, kill this or cleanse that or purify mm-hmm. that or, yeah. you know, you want something strong like that's they've
99.9% kill everything.
Right. I mean, and even to the point where I have to be honest, I remember like getting shampoos and stuff like I like the shampoos that made my scalp tingly. You know, I want
right. What does that do for your hair? Yeah. yeah. What is that?
But it feels
smells like mint and it tingles.
It feels like it's doing something, right? So, I mean, when you think about it, the same type of marketing goes here. And what people need to understand is you hear it on Mind Pump and we're talking about it. Trust me, we're not going to see the pendulum swing in the shampoo and fucking lotion area and anywhere in the next 10 years. There's way more people against what we're saying right now that will be fighting us with studies trying to prove that what we're saying is just, you know, happens to be correlation. It's not, you know.
Well, it's just funny to me, like you just said, like your skin tingles. Look, if you're going to make a product, here's a guaranteed way for you to sell a lot of your product. Make people feel it. That's it. Throw something in there that makes people feel something. And then they will equate that to this product is doing something. Here's another example. Shampoo or toothpaste that lathers. Like mm-hmm. we equate lather to like, oh my God, this luxurious lather. It means it's really cleaning my hair or
soaping all up, right?
Yeah, this toothpaste makes all these bubbles. Mm-hmm. That means it must work real well. That has nothing to fucking do with what it's supposed to do. Mm. They add an ingredient to purposely make bubbles and shit because people like the feel of it. But it does nothing. You could brush your teeth with baking soda. You're not going to get all these bubbles and wonderful lather in your mouth. And you're going to clean your teeth just as good as you do with the freaking detergent toothpaste that makes all kinds of bubbles in your mouth.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
And then you
won't
get all the
stuff.
Sugar that they put in it as well,
or other shit. Exactly,
that's mm-hmm. funny.
They
right?
do that.
Pumphead Rob is asking, "What percentage body fat do you need to see your abs?"
There you go, Adam.
yeah.
Fuck your
real house. He's the handsome one.
So that depends. Everybody's going to be different. We've kind of mentioned this a little bit. I think, in fact, all four of us in this room, even for Doug here, have seen our abs probably at different body fat percentages. I typically can actually still see my abs between 12 and 15%.
Asshole.
Yes. And right away, someone would say that asshole. But then I don't see like separation in my quads or my back until I get down to like fucking 5%. Mm. So, you know, everybody tends to hold body fat in different areas and store it. And, you know, everyone's, and for every person that has a weakness somewhere, they probably have a strength somewhere else. And like I said, you know, everybody says, oh, good for you, you get abs. But unfortunately, I don't get to ever see my back muscles until I get completely lean or my legs.
Yeah. So. See, I need to, for me to have a good six pack, I need to be about 9%. In the past, I'd have to get down lower than that, but then I built my abs. So I actually built the muscles of my abs so they stick out more, and then they're now they're more visible at higher body fat percentages. And I did that through just proper programming and training. Mm. But for the most part, if you're a man, you probably need to be around 10%.
Yeah, 10 or less.
Around 10% to get a six-pack. I need to be a little lower. Someone like Adam can be higher. For women, I think they'll probably see a six-pack around 14%, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 13, and they'll start to see a six pack. But yeah, like Adam was saying, it's a little bit different for everybody. If you really want to see a six pack, you got to get lean, but also build your abs and build them properly. We actually have a program called the No BS Six Pack Formula that talks about that. It's a program specifically to build the abs.
Wouldn't you say too that some of it could be different because somebody also has been a poor eater for a very long time and they have a lot of stomach fat. They have a lot of fat around that, a lot of stubborn fat in that area, and they've been eating because they've been eating so poorly for so long.
It's interesting. Studies will now show that depending on what you eat, you can store body fat. The genetics play the big, big role, right? But there is a small, there are some studies that show that eating a certain way will store more body fat in the belly or in the thighs. I believe hormone disruptances are really changed at the most. So I know we just talked about like the xenoestrogens and certain chemicals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They find that, you know, men whose hormone levels are off, they'll store more body fat in, you know, other parts of the body, and, you know, you'll get maybe more visceral body fat. So yeah, that, there's definitely a case to be made for that.
Well, I know mine's completely anecdotal, but I remember after I got fell out of shape and decided to get back into shape after I kind of pretty much beat up my body nutritionally for sure for a good year and a half. And when I got back into shape, I remember when I got all the way down, I think I was down to 7%, and I still had like this little pouch of fat that was on the bottom part of my stomach. And it took me 3 shows before that literally like went away. It was crazy. And I remember it tripping me out every time that, God,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was very, and like I said, it's only anecdotal. I'm talking about myself. I don't have fucking tons of studies to show this, but that was something that I noticed. And being somebody who was watching stuff like that, because I'm getting on stage and every drop of fat on my body mattered. I'd had this stubborn little tiny little, and each time I leaned out back down to the single digit body fat, that stubborn fat was a little bit less, till eventually now when if I drop all the way down to 6% body fat, because now I've not allowed myself to go beyond probably 11 or 12%. I've kept myself that at the highest and then mostly in single digits for the last almost 3 years now. But going when I first was coming down that first couple times, that was still hanging around there. So I've always been very interested in what the science would probably be behind that. I know it was... I know something was going on. I know that when I was at 7% the first time was definitely different than the 2 other times after that.
Getting really lean is difficult. Even now you go to Gold's, you go to one of these hardcore gyms, and the person who will get the most looks is the guy or girl that's really lean, more so than the really big, smooth person. The really big, smooth person doesn't really stand out that much. It's you're
called
shredded.
Discrimination.
Yeah. Justin. When you're shredded, you get a lot of attention because it's rare. And a six-pack is rare. You get a six-pack, you get a nice six-pack that you can see without flexing.
Big and smooth.
And you go to the pool, you know, you're going to get recognized. But it's difficult. It takes a lot of planning, nutrition, good programming with your workout, and consistency. You got to be consistent as hell.
FitChris86 is asking, with all the stress and busyness of life, do you ever have difficulty living in the moment with your family and friends?
That's a daily struggle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, this probably is a zinger for all four men in this room for sure. I'm sure of it. That's Chris. That's why I thought it was a good one. And this was a topic just recently, you know, I got into with my girl. It's very difficult for me. It's kind of... And I guess, and the reason why I don't let it beat me up.
It's a constant struggle.
It is a constant. It's something that I have to be always self-aware of. But at the same time, too, and I've spoken to my girl with this, I wouldn't get rid of that trait either. because I also believe that's also what propels me to be successful in the things that I pursue. Because I believe that if you're going to be exceptional at anything that you do, whether it be health and fitness or, you know, financially in your career or sports, whatever, you have to be a tad fanatical mm-hmm. about it to be elite. You could be good at anything if you apply yourself and you work hard. I believe anybody can. But I also believe unless you're naturally gifted in some specific area,
there's an obsessive component.
You have to have a little bit of this, fanatical side to you, which means you're kind of always, like business wise, which I think all these gentlemen in this room are, I could be sitting there at a table with family and this and that and talking this and that, and my mind starts to drift and fuck, you know what I need to do? I need to make sure I send a message over to Doug because I want to make sure that tomorrow when I meet with the boys, that all of us are doing this together because we finished that. And that starts happening in my brain and I can't help it and I can't stop it. It's the same thing that goes why I have like a bajillion notes in my iPhone is, I can't sleep some nights and I'm up till 2 a.m. just writing notes, you know?
You know when we're all in the moment?
Yep.
Right here.
When we're on the fucking... I just realized that shit right now. That's why all of us have talked about how therapeutic it is to get on the mics. Do you know why it's therapeutic for us?
Because we're in the moment.
This is the only fucking time I'm ever truly in the moment. This is insane. Yeah. It is a fucking struggle. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If you are like one of us and you have a family... you're going to get into battles. You're going to get into battles with your wife. You're going to get, because it's difficult. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. You get into that space. I know, man, I live in that fucking space and I love it here. Yeah. I don't want to leave. I see my family, I get my kids. I want to, I know I got to, to be able to devote more time and be able to be more present. It's very fucking difficult because it's so addicting what I do and what I love to do. And it's just kind of part of, I think it's part of who I am. Yeah. So it's for me, it's a constant, something I have to constantly work on. It doesn't come naturally at all.
Yeah. Oh, it's insanely hard. It's insanely hard. And I find myself always in a moment with, where I'm just trying to kind of justify, reason my way around it. Like, well, this is going to lead to this. And then I try and catch myself and try and turn the mind off and just, be like, okay, no, I'm just going to be here. And, occasionally I can get there and I can, and I'm always like, I give my wife a lot of credit for just knowing that. And she deals with it and she kind of calls me out on it. And then we kind of move forward, but she knows by now that that's never going to change. Like my mind is always going to be racing and I'm always going to have another idea or another major, business thing that I'm going to get myself involved with, especially with you guys. So it's like, saddle up. This is life, this is how it is.
How many times have you guys said this to your significant others? Listen, honey, we're going to this is going to grow. Then we're going to make this much money. And then I'm going to be able to take all this time off. And then we can have this wonderful time together. How many times have you said that? And then how many times have they said this back to you? Nothing will change.
You're not going to stop.
You'll do something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what...
exactly right.
I wanted to talk about this because I felt like I felt like all of us could give some really good advice in this area too, because it is a reality. Like the boy said, if you are like us, this will be a bridge you will cross if you have not crossed with your significant other. And this is probably the reason why
it's important to find somebody who understands it.
Yes.
Exactly.
So it's probably why I've waited till I was in my 30s before I found the woman that I would settle down with. And let me tell you something that's very unique about Katrina is that I can tell her this. And I told her right from the beginning. I learned through my 20s of going through girlfriends that it would never. And this was kind of my MO was, I would be with a girl and then a new business thing or something come up and then I bury myself into it and then they could never take it and they freak out and then it turns into this big thing. And I'm just like, how am I going to be with this woman that's getting in the way of my success? Like, that's so stupid. Like, she's out of here. So like that was kind of it. When I met Katrina, I felt, first of all, was the first woman that I felt like loved that part about me. She's now been with me through. She's seen 4 different businesses been built and seen them from ground up with me. So and one of the things about her, like Justin's Courtney, is she'll call me out, like, and she does it in the right way, because I told her from the beginning that this is how I am. I'm not changing. I'm going to be a maniac like this. I'm going to provide a lifestyle for you that you're going to love. I'm going to love you like no one's ever loved you before, and I'm going to be good to you. And these are all this is who I am. You can't change that. Yeah. So one of the things that she always does is she 100% supports it, respects it. And then every once in a while, the way she tells me is just like, she'll be kind of like, she'll joke about it, but I know she's being serious because I can be this way, where she'll be like, hey, don't forget to look at me. I've been home for, you've been home for you know, 3 hours or whatever. And because I can be that guy. I can be the guy who comes straight to the door and right away I've already got something else on my plate that I got to accomplish, you know, and, you know, she'll kind of give me that little subtle jab like that. And she also knows that I'm aware enough to pick up on that and go like,
well, I think part of the key, I think the key to that is to find a partner that is also very independent. So if you're if you're a man and you're doing this, you want a woman that is very strongly and fiercely independent, because then they won't be challenged by it. They'll have their own shit. So you'll be doing your thing, they'll be doing their own thing, and then you guys can meet together,
right,
and it's all good.
Well, this is also a good reason why you need to let them have friends and let them go out and let them, you know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't even say let, I'd say promote it.
Not let, yeah, promote, that's the wrong way to say it. I'm just trying to...
You give them permission sometimes?
Like, you can go out. Yeah, go ahead. No. I'm just saying, some idiots out there are always like, you know, they get like, no, you... like all needy with their significant other.
Oh yeah, that's very common in relationships.
It's not just, yeah, it's like I know a lot of guys that are like that are real like possessive, well, and it's like, dude, no.
Well, I'll tell you what, for me, what tempered me was my kids. That's it. Nothing could do it, but my kids did a little bit. And even then I still know I work what some people might say way too much, or most people might say, but back in the day, man, I was 6 or 7 days a week, 8 a.m., 10 p.m. That was, I mean, every fucking day, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Then when I had kids, it was one day off a week. Literally, that's what I did. I said, okay, I'm going to take Sunday off.
Yep.
And, you know, that doesn't work. That doesn't work for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
And now I'm getting a little bit better at it, but it's very, very difficult. So, Chris, you're asking the wrong guys if you're looking for good advice.
No, communication to me is the number one thing. If I didn't get that across, is that, you know, being in a relationship that you can communicate, that be honest with yourself, be honest with your partner right out the gates, that this is the type of person I am. You know it if you are. You know right away if you're listening right now, male or female, if you can relate to us and you have this mentality, you've got to express that from the very beginning with someone. Because if you try and, if like Justin was saying, you suffocate each other like crazy because you're all in love, you just met each other and you're spending 24/7, and then all of a sudden 24, you realize like, oh shit, I'm not pursuing my career goals or my dreams, and you're a very ambitious person, then all of a sudden you go the other direction, guess what, you're in for a shit storm.
And you have to be very honest, like Adam's saying. The other thing is, you have to have like non-negotiables, and you have to have things that like you value, like and if it is at a point where you need to designate specific hours of your day where you turn everything off and you're there, you know, that does help. It definitely helps. Like, I'll throw my phone and get rid of it, and I'm there for 2 hours. And so it's not that it's, you can't do it. You just have to make it another discipline.
Yeah. Correct. Good point.
I mean, that's all I would say. I mean, I'm not great at doing that all the time, but if I do, you know, get myself to be disciplined with that, it does make a difference.
Well, I imagine Courtney is real similar to like Katrina is, where I know when I've pushed that limit. Like when I've,
yeah, exactly, when that's I've, when I get the the little hint.
Yeah. Once I get that subtle hint, and I know, you know, that okay, if she says something, then I've been going too far, because she already knows this about me. She already puts up with it on a daily basis, so I already know that. So when I get the sign, then it's like, just like Justin said, the phone, the computer, everything gets shut down, and I'm 100% focused on you and what we're doing right now. What would you like to do, honey?
There it is.
Who is Lisa P is asking, if you could go back to any age, what age would that be, and what would you tell yourself?
Mm. Well, we're getting close right today, huh?
That's a good one. I'd go back to when I was 5, and I'd tell myself, don't eat that spider.
Don't eat the spider. No.
I would go back to, let me see. I would have
made that kid eat the shit brownie.
Fuck. I think I was 20. And I had an opportunity to go run a gym in Hong Kong. This was back when 24 owned the California Fitness Clubs. You guys remember those in Hong Kong? Mm-hmm. Big fucker. These were massive, like 3-story gyms.
Yeah, 50 to 100 trainers in each one.
50 to 100 trainers in each one. I was going to get paid a shit ton of money. The taxes in Hong Kong are nothing. But I was 20 and I was intimidated as hell. And I said no. I actually would turn it down. And I had a couple opportunities like that where at one point I could have been a district manager in Colorado. I think that would have been awesome. It would have been awesome just to go out and be out other places and learn. Mm-hmm. But I was intimidated for a couple reasons. One, I was young. I was just a kid. In a lot of ways, I was like an old man. But in other ways, I was very young. And number two is, and you guys are going to laugh at this, but you guys know how horrible my sense of direction is. And one of my biggest fears would be going to fucking Hong Kong and just getting lost. Like, who the fuck am I going to ask how to get back to my place? Everybody speaks Chinese.
Hey, how funny is that that I have the same fear, bro?
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Swear to God.
That's why I haven't been there yet. I'm like, fuck, dude, I'd be hella scared to get it. It just seems crazy. All the movies you watch, it looks hella busy. And lots
just
of streets.
Get lost.
And super tall buildings.
I always feel like I'm going to be reaching for some handle and then looking and everybody's on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Subway. In the subway?
I was like, what is he talking about?
Anyways.
Yeah, that's I wish if I could go back in time, I wish I did that. It would have been an amazing experience. You imagine that 20 years old, running a freaking gym. I probably would have made a couple hundred grand a year, most of it non-taxed. I would have lived like a freaking champion, busted my ass and made a lot of good friends. It would have been awesome.
I thought of something similar like that, but it was being a trainer on a one of those boats, the cruise ships. Yeah.
Wow.
Would have been awesome.
That actually sounds like a fun
actually had
job.
Yeah, I had one of my buddies said that he did it. And just, you know, he had the greatest experience ever. He did it all in Jamaica and he did the whole Bermuda and all these different like awesome places.
Did he have sex with a lot of the people on the boat?
A lot. Yoga and banged all day.
That's immediately what I think about.
I know, it's true. You got like nothing but rooms all over there.
Is this your first cruise, Mrs. Johnson? Would you like to do some training tomorrow?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh God.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I'm sure it was an experience for sure.
What age would I go back? I would go back probably to, I'd say, freshman year in high school. And I say freshman year just because at that point in my life, I think you start to realize the importance of education and learning and stuff like that. I think at least for me, in elementary and junior high, you're just kind of going through the motions. High school, you know, people start talking about college and future and stuff a little bit. So you're starting that point in your life, at least for me. And I would teach myself how to learn. I would teach myself a better way of learning than the school was going to teach me in the next 4 years. And I would find the things that I was passionate and I would really press myself to learn more in everything, whether if I was into bicycles or if I was into drafting and drawing, if I was, you know, into health and fitness and working out in sports, whatever the things that I loved, I would really, really pressure myself to continue to explore that and to dive deeper into it. If I already like it, I would want to push myself. I feel like that's one of the biggest issues that I have with how we teach and how we learn now is that we try and put everybody cookie cutter in the same type of classrooms, the same type of stuff. And at least 90% of the people I ever talk to, you know, talk about their high school years and even some into college years of like a waste of time for a lot of them as far as the stuff they actually learned.
Dude, it was so unmemorable for me. Oh, yeah. So unmemorable.
Well, and you know, and I feel like that just because we're in this stupid system that's terrible. And I feel I would challenge, even though like, you know, and I know one day I'll be challenged with this as a parent of, you know, my kid going through school and he's supposed to get his good grades in class. But in reality, I want to be finding out what my child is really, really enjoying and loving and impressing him to go further in that and wanting him to teach me more and learn more about that. What about this, son? What do you know about that? What do you know about that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's almost exactly along the lines of what I was going to say. Just being a parent now and watching, you know, my kid grow up and everything and like what he's totally into and stuff, it's like different than what I was into. You know, I was just like a total jock. Like I just immediately wanted to kick a ball, throw a ball, run constantly, you know. And he just doesn't have that. He's just like so into Lego, so into Star Wars, you know. I got him into Taekwondo and it's just like, you know, like back then I'd be like, oh man, dude, you're so nerdy.
You had a Sal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's kind of Sal-esque.
That's awesome. I want to meet this kid.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Of course.
Yeah, but I mean, it is stuff like that. Like, I totally would have been into martial arts, and I really wish that I would have pursued that more earlier in life, you know. But I definitely went the sports route, which I wouldn't trade that either, though. I'm kind of in a spot where I didn't want to be total cliche and be like, I wouldn't change anything because, you know, it wouldn't have led me to where I am right now, which is totally true. But, you know, that's one of those passions. I have a passion for that, and I have a passion for art and drawing. And I was in this cartooning class in high school. And I loved it. I loved it. And then it just was over within a semester, you know, and then never did anything ever again. And, like, I remember that being like my favorite thing. I totally could have got into like drawing and comics and all that kind of stuff. But then people would have like shot spitballs at me and like called me nerd. And, you know, so I didn't.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Adam Wakefield, PT, is asking the best way to add in HIIT with a 3-day full body workout.
So HIIT, he's referring to high intensity interval training, which is a type of cardio where you go at a very high intensity for a short period of time. Then you go at a low intensity for a little bit longer period of time, and then you repeat that. So it'd be like a 20-second sprint followed by a minute walk and then back and forth or whatever. And typically that type of cardio you do for a shorter period of time, mm-hmm. 15 minutes, 15, and you're done.
20 maybe.
Versus regular cardio where you're there 30, 40 minutes.
I wish I knew a little bit more. I wish I knew what the desired goal is.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, it depends on the individual. Here's what I've always seen work well for the average person is if they're doing a 3-day a week full body routine, which by the way is superior to a body part split. So 3 days a week full body is to do 3 days a week of cardio, 2 days a week of them are steady state, and 1 day a week is high intensity interval training. I've seen good success with that with a decent percentage of the amount of people that I've trained. But if you're an athlete, if your fitness level is at a different level,
right,
you might want to do more. Or less. If you're like, one of those high intensity individuals who doesn't get much sleep and works a lot, maybe you have two kids, you're tired, then you probably don't want to do.
Yeah, you're pressed on time.
You probably don't want to do high intensity interval training because it's going to stress your body more. You're already lifting weights 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably better off doing the very slow, recuperative, restorative type cardio, like walking outside or something like that. So,
So I and this is why maybe we don't talk about HIIT. We don't talk a lot about different types of cardio training very much.
Because I'm the only one that likes it.
Yeah. And I think that's how that's probably how I would tell someone to do that is if you like doing it, and I would probably say if you're doing I would do it 2 to 3 times a week, but that's your main reason of doing it. A lot of people do HIIT because there's been studies out there that have shown that it's one of the most efficient ways to burn fat.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a over abused word, efficient, the most efficient way to do this. And the supplement industry uses it like crazy. The training industry uses it like crazy. I'll tell you what, the biggest thing, game changer that I've changed since I coach a lot of clients and I still do this, especially with competitors and stuff. I prescribe more NEAT than I prescribe any other type of form of cardio.
Mm-hmm.
I teach people how to understand how to just move on a daily basis and pay attention to that more than that. Because let's say you did HIIT cardio every single day for 12 to 20 minutes, because that's the normal time for HIIT cardio. 12 to 20 minutes, you did that 7 days a week. Well, and I find out that I start tracking your movement all day long. And let's say with that cardio 7 days a week, you average 15,000 steps and X amount of calories every single day. Simply me getting you to just walk around for an extra 10,000 steps a day and get rid of your HIIT will end up benefiting you more in the fat burning zone, burning more fat overall than doing your HIIT 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, And that's easier for the average person. Learning to teach people how to just incorporate more movement through their day to ramp up their caloric expenditure ends up being a lot easier way to coach somebody than telling them you should do HIIT.
Well, not to mention HIIT requires more skill.
Yeah.
It requires a higher level skill, right?
It's harder on the joints.
It's harder on the body. It definitely will stress your body more than regular cardio will. It's not a restorative type of cardio. It's definitely a workout.
Yeah.
If you want to improve your endurance, your VO2 max, that's great. If you just want to do cardio and you're focusing a lot of your energy on your lifting, which you should, then you got to be careful with HIIT. You got to use it judiciously, but don't make that all your cardio. That's typically, I usually don't recommend more than 2 days a week of HIIT unless it's an athlete that's specifically training for
this. This has been the hardest for me because people ask me, you know, how do I incorporate HIIT? How do I incorporate HIIT? Because I know I would be that person that would want to do cardio that way because that's the way that we moved when we were being athletic. And when it mattered, when you're getting conditioned before the season, that's kind of like the go-to recipe was like you did this, you know, these high intensity bouts, and then you would emulate that in gameplay, or like I'm doing basketball now. But all these required like a pretty high level of endurance or stamina, I should say. And so, you know, getting into that kind of shape meant that you're in shape, right? And that's the association there that I have and a lot of like ex-athletes have. Or so, you know, getting somebody back to like a field of reason, like now that their season's gone, it's not just like all 100% effort in performance, doing things that help the body, working with the body. Like that's been the game changer for me. You know, that's what's done the most change in my body. And I know that will help with me going forward as far as like getting burnt out and then like going in these spurts. Cause I would get in these moments where I'm like, I'm doing hit, but then I'd always trail off. And then there'd be this period where I really wasn't into it anymore.
This is so, and that is the reason why I don't. So I do prescribe it. Okay. I have two scenarios where I prescribe hit to somebody, and I just did to a client literally like 2 days ago. So I'll explain why I did her. And the other one would be somebody who is an athlete and I'm trying to emulate what they're going to be going through, sprinting up and down a basketball court. They're going to sprint for about 30 seconds high, super fast, and they're going to come down. They're going to go back. So someone like that, you want them to be adapted to it. You want them to be used to being put through that. So it makes sense to incorporate that for an athlete like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a majority of the people out there are using it for fat loss reasons. Okay, so how do I use it for a fat loss client? This is what I'm talking about right now. I just gave it to a female client of mine. She's 26 years old. She has been with me now almost 3 months. For 3 months, she has done no cardio. In fact, I took her out of a high intensity class, completely stopped that. She runs MAPS. So for 3 months now, she's been lifting weights, no cardio. Walking is her only prescription for me.
Mm-hmm.
We are 3 weeks out from her heading out for her birthday for, I believe she's going to Vegas. I have now incorporated 3 times a week, 12 minutes of hit, and it's strictly just because time. I'm slowly going to add more and more work to her.
You've ramped all the way up to that point.
Exactly. So, and I want to start with this, and that's the other reason why I would prescribe hit, because it's short. And I just want to kick up her kilocalories a little bit. I slightly decreased her caloric intake, and I'm just going to bump up a little bit more activity. All everything else is staying exactly the same. And I now will watch her drop another percent or so of body fat in the next week. And then the next thing that we'll get introduced to her is an additional like steady state. So then I'll like 2 days out of the week, I want you to get up early, walk for 45 minutes to an hour. And the last thing I really want to do is I want to keep her fed. She's right now she just went from 2,200 calories down to 19, down to 17. So that's what's great is when she first hired me, she was eating 1,500 calories. So I built her up. When I took down all the cardio stuff, now I have all kinds of room to play with that. So that's how the only way that I would prescribe HIIT to any two types of people.
Yeah, I would say for me personally, when I use it, I'm very careful with it because especially if I get a client that's relatively new, it's a high skill type of cardio. You know what I mean? I'll get a new client. It's very rarely will I tell them to sprint anywhere. They don't even exercise at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So HIIT is something like you just said, that's the perfect scenario, I would say, other than an athlete. That's a great example.
Yep.
So you could check out some of our testimonials from people who've done our programs like MAPS Anabolic and MAPS Performance at mindpumpmedia.com. You can also leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and check us out on Instagram at mindpump. You can find me at mindpumpsal. You can find Adam at mindpumpadam. And you can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.